Welcome back, friends. This is the Good Midlife Podcast. We're back after a week off. We had some business we had to attend to. Richard was on the road. I couldn't find a suitable co-host to replace our esteemed co-host, so we just took a week off. But that's okay. We've been working hard for a bit there. I want to thank everybody for all the listens. Got lots of listens on our Oscar podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We will get to that in a minute. Again, where to find us, the Good Midlife Podcast on Instagram, Kenshin Crew on Instagram to follow Richard and his food journey, which we'll get to in a moment. TheGoodMidlife@gmail.com is where you send us an email if you want to talk about it or give us a show idea. And you can also link up with us on Facebook, too. So we're all over the place, and I know you guys are too. Speaking of all over the place, what fine city in the Hoosier State are you hanging out in tonight, Richard?
I am in Indianapolis again, so traveling like crazy. This month is travel. So I was in Pittsburgh last week, Indianapolis this week, possibly back in Indianapolis next week, and so on. So it's 'tis the season. So
got it.
That's what I like to say. But yeah. Good times. It's nice. It's beautiful out today.
It's beautiful here in Kentucky too. So we got a great week going. Okay. So we have a lot to get to. We need to catch up here. So first of all, I'm going to kick it to you. If you know, Richard is doing an eating odyssey, a food odyssey. They pick a restaurant every other week, working through the alphabet here in the city of Louisville. We teased this a bit on the Oscar show. Richard and Maisie had settled on Big D. And that's where they had arrived. So, Richard, let's talk about the Big D adventure. And I think you have an E adventure too, right?
We do. We do. So it's been a couple of weeks between them. The Big D was a decade where Butchertown Grocery used to be. And got to say, it was pretty good. I do miss Butchertown Grocery. I will say that. That was one of Louisville's finer restaurants, I thought. It was one of my favorites. And it's sincerely missed, and I wish that the ownership there would get their act together and bring it back. But but we went to Decades. It was very good. Had a great meal there. The service was very good. I think one of the owners actually greeted us at the door, was the greeter, I guess, or the host. And our table wasn't particularly ready when we got there. So he walked us over to the bar and bought us glasses of wine, which was great. And so the customer service was great. Food was good. Just had a good overall meal. This past weekend, we did E, and we did another restaurant we have not been to. And we went to Eats on Frankfort. And apparently it's been there for about 7 years or 4 or 5 years, and didn't know about it. And it is a Vietnamese or Asian fusion place, and it was really good. Good pho, shaken beef. I had the shaken beef, which was really good. Overall, great experience. Again, great service. Saw a waiter we used to know when we went to Simply Thai in St. Matthews, who was now there, and food was good. Highly recommend it. Nice service, nice atmosphere. I think it used to be the old, I think it was Asia Teak at one point, and then when Asia Teak moved over to Barstown Road. But it was everything was good, and we know F, where I might keep that close to the vest right at the moment, and then but yeah, very excited. So good meals so far. I think when we get to F, I'll come back and rate how the restaurants are overall that we've been to. The good thing about this challenge is we're kind of going to places we've never been or never tried together, which is nice. So Maisie tried pho for the first time, which was interesting, but we'll leave that for off the air. But
all right,
she liked it. I could tell it wasn't her favorite. When my wife says fine twice or it's good, she repeats herself, I know something is askew.
Yeah, you brought that up, and I've been kind of trying to watch for that tell. I haven't seen her tip that off when we've been together yet, but the whole it's fine or it's good, like I have heard her do that before, so I'm conscious of it now. So
no, it's fine.
Okay.
and we all know and some female talk when they say fine, it's usually bad. So, but
so,
in my case
so,
of life, fine is not good.
Right. Well, awesome. I love this challenge, this thing you're doing. So you're going to go from the big D adventure all the way up to having a big F adventure next time. You're going to be DTF on the next show, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Excellent.
Hope so.
Okay. Good deal.
So, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Anything else cool that you've done in the last couple of weeks? We haven't done a real show in about 3 weeks.
Finished a good audio book called The Company. I talked about it before. It was the history, kind of like a fiction version of like the start of CIA. They intertwine real people with kind of, it's interesting. I highly recommend it. It's a long ass read and it's a long ass listen. It's like 41 hours of Audible. So that's a long time, but it's good. And then started River of Doubt. It's about Roosevelt's journey through the Amazon. Lost the, I think, 1913 election or 1914 election, he basically decided he was going to take a trip and kind of go on an expedition to the Amazon. And so far, it's really good. The guy who reads it isn't very good, but the books, it's like, I kind of wish I picked up the book and read it. But yeah, I highly recommend it. River of Doubt. It's about Theodore Roosevelt. And apparently Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio might be doing a movie of this as well. So, and I did finish The Wager. I forgot to mention that to you. I finally finished The Wager after it took me forever, but finished that and enjoyed that.
Yeah. I think that's a great book. Did you feel like there are some really interesting parallels to what's going on in the world now versus what was happening in England when the castaways got back home, in terms of like trying to take control of the narrative and own the media, you know, work the media to your own advantage in that way.
Yeah. You brought that up earlier and I was trying to, it's just like, and as I was reading it, I was like, I wonder where Jim thinks this is parallel. Then all of a sudden I started reading it more and I was like, yeah, there's a lot of spin going on in that book, by the characters, classic spin.
Yeah, the last third of that book really does. It mirrors nicely with what goes on in modern society. Well,
and it's also interesting with that book, and if you read Heart of the Sea, I think, is that what we've talked about? What Moby Dick's based on. It's interesting that anybody could survive any of that.
It's amazing.
Like either
isn't it?
Book, it's unbelievable. I was dumbfounded. Like it was a great story. I was like, it's just like it kind of started out slow, and then all of a sudden, when they're journeying home, I was like, holy hell, how did anybody survive this?
Yep. Well, David Grant is as good as it gets in terms of writing a historical narrative, and I thought The Wager was a home run too. So.
So that's the third book I've read of his. I've read Lost City of Z.
Mm-hmm.
I've read The Wager and Flowers of the Killer Moon. And there's a Sherlock Holmes book I want to read.
Okay.
That sounds pretty good too. That might be next on my list after.
Well, I got a vacation coming up, so I'm going to need to throw a couple of books in the suitcase for the beach. So got some good ideas there.
I would go with River of Doubt.
Okay.
I'm not
that's
finished
good...
with it. I'm halfway through probably. It's really good. And if you like spy stuff and you want a long book, The Company is really good.
Okay, cool. Those are good options for a spring break trip. For me, I did not get out to a lot of restaurants over the last couple of weeks. We've been doing a whole bunch of other stuff. But, you know, Saturday, we did go to the St. Patrick's Parade in Louisville. We always do it the Saturday before St. Patrick's or St. Patrick's weekend. It's always fun. It's one of my favorite days in Louisville. It was kind of cool. The rain got out of here. Lots of cool stuff. I posted a reel on Instagram if you missed that. And we took the dog. PG&J's Dog Bar is a great place to watch that, a little bit out of the crowd. If you go down to Molly Malone's and Flanagan's, it gets a little crowded and a little younger than what we are now. That was a cooler thing 20 years ago. But at 50, the Dog Bar was awesome. And so we did that and hung out with some friends and then walked down to High Wire, our good friends at High Wire, serving up some great beer. And we grabbed some pizza from Goodfellas and watched Kentucky take care of Tennessee. More on that coming up. So we had a great weekend with that, kind of Watched some TV. Get to that in a minute. The weekend before, I'm going to give a shout out to McKinley. He's a veteran of the pod. You know him. He is a power lifter at St. X High School, and they have won the state championship twice in a row. But this year, the state championship meet, they finished second, and McKinley finished second in his weight class. So not what they wanted, but a really good performance by the boys. And so McKinley's deadlift was like 5'10" or something like that.
Wow.
The guy that beat him deadlifted 560.
Jesus.
It was nuts. That guy was he was from Madisonville, and Madisonville North Hopkins won.
That's
the,
right.
They
That's
won.
That's right. My yeah. old family stomping grounds. That's right. The Maroons.
Well, I'm always happy when anybody from Western Kentucky wins anything. Christian County won the combined, I think, because they had girls and boys. But no, they were second in the combined. Anyway,
this guy, I didn't know there was female powerlifting.
Girls powerlifting, there is. Yes, it is. It's very interesting. But this guy that pulled 560, he was tall, but when he did his bench, I was like, his form's not real good, but that dude's legs are gigantic. And this is the weirdest thing. Every single one of his lifts, he had this sort of hoodie jacket on that he never took off.
Yeah.
He had on his powerlifting shorts and his socks and shoes, but he never took off his hoodie. He had on this like camo hoodie situation that he never took off. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, it's a really fun thing. It takes way too damn long. You know, the meets they do at St. X, they'll start them in the morning and you'll be out of there at noon. It takes them a long time to figure out how to tabulate this. I can't even get into it on the show, but it was fun. I tell you, one of the interesting things at this meet, Richard, is, and I know we have listeners in Kentucky, but Bath County always brings a lot of kids to the meet. Are you familiar with Bath County?
No, I am not.
It's
Probably
kind of
should be, but
it's kind of
no,
northeastern. I think it's Owington, I think, is the county seat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
They're always really good in football. Small school, always very competitive in football, and they bring a ton of kids to this meet. And every year I'm thinking, oh, look at all those kids from Bath County, and they don't even place. Like, they did have one dude that was a hoss, and he lifted the most of the tournament. But otherwise, Bath County kind of sucks at powerlifting, and yet they bring all these kids. I don't get it. Because they're all football players that powerlift too, but, you know, I appreciate their spirit and effort. And all that. So we did that. And I'm, you know, proud of McKinley. Congrats to him. Proud of all those boys. We know a lot of those boys. They spend a lot of time at our house. So it's a lot of fun with all those kids. And otherwise, we've been watching a lot of UK basketball, gone out and watched a little bit here and there. And Sunday night this past weekend, we watched the Oscars. Did you watch the Oscars, Richard?
I did not. I should have because of the show, but it's just like, you know, Sunday night was we celebrated my mom's birthday and I was getting packed up. It was a crazy day. So I didn't have a chance to soak it all in.
Well, it was a really good show. It was the best show in a long, long time. It was very, very entertaining on a lot of levels. There were a couple of weird moments. You probably saw the Al Pacino Best Picture announcement that was weird. There were a couple other things that didn't hit, but mostly it was very good, very entertaining. Early start time at 7 was awesome. Minute didn't go till midnight, so I appreciate that. You know, so I watched it, and as we did that, you know, kept track of who won awards and who won bets from our show. As you know, we did our Oscar bets. We had guests, Elizabeth, McKinley, Kelly, Brian, Maisie. We all had these guests, and so we have a winner of the pack of hot dogs that I promised, and it's McKinley. He picked 5 out of 6 winners, and the only one he missed was he did not have Davine Joy Randolph. He just kept picking the Oppenheimer sweep, so he had Emily Blunt. But that's one where you didn't lose any money because Davine didn't pay anything, and so he ended up ahead of everybody else. So congrats to McKinley.
Do I need to go to Sam's or Costco and get him bulk? Dogs.
Yeah, you know what? Those Kirkland hot dogs at Costco are really good. We love those. So yeah, that'd be great. Hell,
I'll do
just...
that for him. I'll do okay. that for him. Congrats, okay. McKinley.
All right, nice. All right, very good. Very good. So Sunday was daylight savings time, spring forward. How does that go for you? Do you hate the time changes or are you cool with them?
I wish they would leave it on this time zone or this time change. I like later. The only problem is when I woke up on Monday, it was dark. I'm trying to get up early and go work out and do all that kind of stuff. And it was pitch black at 7 o'clock. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And that's the one thing I don't like about it. But when we're this far west on the Eastern time zone and in summer, like it stays light until 9 o'clock or sometimes
almost 10 sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like midway through the season, it's almost 10 o'clock. I'm for it. So I'd like to keep this. And I wish the government would get off their ass. And I mean, they have a lot of other things to worry about, like keeping the government afloat at the moment. But this bill needs to be passed. It's ridiculous.
Well, I get it. And it would be a massive change. Here's where I am. Like 20 years ago, I didn't care. And this is the time that I prefer. I do prefer the daylight savings time. I like the late night daylight. I like me being able to, you know, we're going to wrap this up. We start recording at 6:20. We're going to wrap this. I'm going to go sit outside on my deck for a little while before I start dinner. It's going to be great. But man, the older I get, the time change hits my body so hard. And it is so hard to wake up. Or like Sunday, I felt like the whole day had gotten away. We were sitting on the couch. Watching a little something, and I said, I'm going to start dinner. And Elizabeth said, why are you starting dinner right now? I said, well, because it's 6, and we want to watch the Oscars. She's like, holy shit, it's 6 o'clock? You just feel like the day's wasted. I woke up Monday exhausted. Man, I hate the change. And so,
That is the problem with it, for sure. I mean, and it sounds really weird. It's like I make comments all the time, like, in our time change, like when I go over to Evansville and it's Central time, and then it's like even that little thing sometimes can.
Yeah.
It's wonky, especially going from Eastern and like in the same, like working even, like most of my team is on Eastern time zone. So it's like my bosses. So I'm starting to get emails like it's 6 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that. So little things I will say, it's just like I did wake up very groggy on Monday. You were right about Sunday. It felt like all of a sudden, next thing I know, the day is getting it got away from me. I was like, wait, I still have to pack, and I try to pack on Sunday so I don't feel rushed on Monday because it's a work day and stuff like that. But yeah, it's challenging the older you get, and it's really weird to say that, but it really is a weird challenge.
And then once you get older, once you retire, it doesn't even matter so much.
Yeah.
Because we went to Elizabeth's parents last night and had dinner with them. And they're like, you know, we were getting up at 11. Now we're getting up at 12. You know, no big deal. But like I would say the last 15 to 20 years of your work life, it probably sucks really hard for everybody.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
We're stepping into that. So, should be very, very
It's the good midlife, as we call
it. That's what we call it. Well, here's another thing that's good, and that's college basketball. And conference tournaments are going on this week, and the NCAA tournament is right around the corner. Getting excited, Richard.
I am. And I have to note, did you see the fight between women's LSU team and the South Carolina team?
Yeah, that was something. And that dude jumped across the scorer's table, and the policeman came after him, and that was crazy. You know, the day before, South Carolina had hit a woman who had never hit a three in her career, hit a wide open three pointer as time expired to beat Tennessee. They were down 2. She took a three. Nobody guarded her because they didn't feel like she was a threat. She drains the three. So that was crazy ending. And then she's the one involved in the fight the next day. She's the one that gets pushed or pushes back. I don't know. She's involved in that fight. So, but that thing was, that was intense.
Yeah, it was. It was great. But anyway, so I thought I'd bring that up. But that was a very intense fight. And it could have gotten – it was on the verge of about to get really out of hand. And luckily, it's just like a lot of the coaches kind of came in and broke it up. That was an interesting fight. But, yes, I'm very excited. It's Kentucky's starting to play a little bit better. I'm still a little worried about them because they do this, like Cal gets them all revved up for the last haul, and then they'll do something boneheady, hopefully not again. But this team seems to be a little bit more focused. I think they finally got it back together a little bit, like they were playing at the beginning of the year. There's a couple of players that are due. Trey Mitchell is due for a big comeback. He's been injured, and he played really well at the first of the season, had injury and stuff like that. So it could be an interesting March overall.
So I like this team a lot, and I think they're one of the 10 teams that could probably win the tournament. And we'll get into that in our show, but when we do our bracket special. But they remind me of some of those good Cal teams of his first few years that weren't great in the beginning of the season, but by the time February hit, they were good. And I think Kentucky's won 5 in a row, which is, you know, about 3 weeks worth of basketball, most of February or into March. And this team finally understands what they do well, which is shoot. And they can play just enough defense to be okay. Did you realize in that game where they beat Tennessee that Kentucky got 0 points from its 5 big men and 85 points from the smaller guys? Did you realize that we had not one single point from a big? That is unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Unbelievable, right? So very, very exciting. Now,
well, Cal did tweak it a little bit, and he did say he was going to run that kind of offense, and it's maybe that's the way to do it. I don't know if you can do that, especially if you go up against Purdue's and stuff like that. I watched UConn makes me really nervous in general because they were down. I think they were playing Providence or somebody, and they were down big, and then they just came roaring back and destroyed teams. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what lineup he runs in the SEC tournament as well as the tournament.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. And I love the brackets. I you know, Selection Sunday is Sunday. Unfortunately, we have a friend who scheduled a party right in the middle of Selection Sunday, but we have another friend whose house I will sneak over to watch. So that's going to happen. And when the brackets are revealed, we want to do a bracket competition. So now, Richard, have you talked about this with any of your friends, any of the bracket competition?
I've mentioned it to a few, but I was going to keep it for the pod. So it kind of, we can kind of go from there. And then I'm waiting for we decide everything, and then we'll send out a massive text to see what happens.
Okay. So I've tossed this to some friends. Richard, our friends are poons. Poons, I tell you. They all poon out, and they don't want – they're scared of the heat, because what we want to do is have a massive bracket competition open to anybody in the United States of America, where the buy-in is $5. And I'll give you the address. I'll tell you where to send your bracket, where to send your $5. And the winner gets all of the money, and the loser – wherever you are, we will DoorDash an order of the hottest wings from Buffalo Wild Wings. So we're not going crazy. We're not like pulling some nonsensical ghost pepper situation that will kill you. Just
it's
hot
commercial
wings.
Grade. It's
commercial grade hot wings.
Restaurant grade hot wings. So yes.
So we will DoorDash them to your house, so you don't have to even leave the comfort of your own home, and then you come on the podcast with us. And we talk about that as you eat. You are our guest. You are our special guest. We're buying you dinner. All you got to do is eat hot wings and talk about nonsense with us.
And guess what? If we lose, we do it too. So
absolutely.
My luck with the NCAA tournament has not been the best. And I'll say this. It's like I am happy to partake into it. Now, it's just like it will even let you have ranch or blue cheese with it.
Of course.
A little bit.
And you can have you can have boneless. If you want tofu, boneless. I'll let it go, but I'll call you a poon.
Cauliflower, we'll let you have
whatever.
Cauliflower.
Yeah, whatever. It's just got to be the blazing from BW3s, and it's just the snack size 5 or whatever that is. It's not a ton. You know, you can drink milk, Coors Light, whatever
you
want.
Are
you
going to call out who the poon was, some of the poons were, or are you just going to let that sink in?
I'll let that go. Yeah. I said to a couple of people, and it was like, well, that sounds fun. I don't know about the hot sauce, though. I don't know about
weenies.
That, man. Weenies. Poons. Don't poon out, America. Let's do this. Let's have a little fun. And, you know, you can win a little bit of money in our little bracket competition.
It's not like we're doing the bomb off Hot Ones, people.
Right.
Come on, seriously.
Right.
I mean, yeah. So if you want to participate, it's like, let's see what you got.
I love the tournament. I love the brackets. I love a competition like this. So let's do it. Let's have a lot of fun. And so speaking of having fun, speaking of the tournament, so like when stuff gets tight, Richard, I want to ask you, do you have any rituals that you do? Like, do you sit in the same spot? Like if you leave the room and the team starts doing well, do you have to stay out of the room? Do you have anything that you do?
I do get a little superstitious. Like we were at Dundee one time and a friend of ours, Kentucky, was, I don't know if they were down, but it got really tight during the NCAA tournament. It was around the time they won the 2013 championship.
2012.
And our friend went to the bathroom and there was like 2 minutes left. We sent her back into the bathroom at Dundee and she had to stay there until the end of the game and they won.
Who was that? I was there that night. Who was that?
And Bryant, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Ann Worthington.
That seems right because that was, you know, that was.
Gaddis was there. All those people were there. Yep.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and Andre was there too, right? Andre was in and out at that point. Yeah. So,
yes.
That was a good time.
I don't know if that was 12 or. Whenever they got close again, it might not have been 12. I think it was, but I'm not 100%. I think it was 12.
13 was the year they didn't make the tournament, right? Because Louisville won and had the banner.
Yeah, that's right. They Robert Morris or whatever.
Right.
Whatever. Whoever.
Yeah. So I don't really have that either. Like I do pace a little bit. Like the 2011 UConn game in the Final Four, I was pacing in my house. I was home alone and just I had worked and I got home and it's dark and I'm just pacing and it's. But that's about the only thing I do. And I do it less now than I ever have done. Like now I'm pretty content to just sit there. I might, you know, there's nothing really superstitious I do. But I was listening to Kentucky Sports Radio one day last week, and there was a caller on the show who said that when games get tight, he starts taking off his clothes. And he sometimes gets all the way down to naked. Have you ever done this? Have you heard of anyone who did this?
No. That's insane.
So Matt Jones asked him about this. He said, you don't go out in public and do this, right? Like, you're just doing this at home, right? And he said, yeah, it's just me and my wife. And he says, what does your wife think about that? And he said, she's cool with it. She doesn't mind. It's all fine with her. How would
that make? What we could do is spice up our lives. And do it. We should have done it during the season. I wish I had known this a little bit more in the season, and then see what our wives think.
Yeah,
see what happens.
Unfortunately, I've already told Elizabeth about it, and she was like, "That's weird." But like, I feel like if I started doing that in the living room, just started taking off my shirt and then my pants in the middle of a basketball game, I think she would think I was having a mental break. I mean,
I think we should try it. It's just like, stay tuned, loyal listeners, for football season 2024 and early basketball season of 2024. Let's just try it. They'll forget it by then.
That's true. That's true.
And we'll do it.
See what happens. Okay. And by football season, we will both collectively have zero children in our house because our last one over here will be gone. So perfect. How do you think that would go down at your house? How do you think Maisie would feel about that?
I think we might get the what the fuck. We will definitely get question marks for sure.
Yeah. I might end up at Tenbrook on some kind of a mental inquest
or Central State.
Yeah, yep. Something like that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I want to know how that got started, too. I want to know what made that dude do that. Like, was he just drunk?
I could see it where it's just like, I could probably see what happened is, like, he took off his shirt. And then all of a sudden, like, they were down. It's like, imagine the LSU game. Like, when the Patino-Dale Brown LSU game where Kentucky came roaring back. And or some game like that. Well, he took off his shirt. Well, they closed it by 10. Then it's just like somebody convinced him, it's like, well, take off your pants. And then they got down by two. And then all of a sudden it's like, take off your underwear. And they won. And that's how it
started. And a tradition is born.
Yeah. And that's how it started.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
You got to stop after. It's like, if it doesn't work, like what he doesn't realize is like, or what he should do is the minute it stops working, he has to stop doing it.
Right. Right. Yes. That's the layer. Yeah, that's you're at the optimum level of clothing at that point. So, yes, I agree with that. Anyway, I thought that was a hilarious call, a crazy idea, and I'd never heard of anybody doing that, and it makes no damn sense. But very interesting. Stay tuned. We might try that at our respective homes.
Fall and winter of 2024.
Yep. Yep. Anything else you want to hit on with sports before we hop off of that and move on?
There was a couple things that happened. I don't know. I just got a breaking news that Aaron Rodgers might run with Robert Kennedy Jr. for his running mate. That broke just a few minutes ago.
Awesome.
Possibly. Yeah. That's all we need is smug Aaron Rodgers to tell us how stupid we are even more. Then also Rick Pitino is running his mouth again. Earlier in the season, he made fun of the Saint, or didn't make fun of, had some very pointed things to say about his players and his facilities and the athletic department's approach. This time he brought up again how he regrets ever leaving Kentucky. And he seems to know what Reed Shepherd's plans are for next year and won't leak it or won't say anything, which I respect, but at the same time is just stop talking, dude. Just stop talking.
Yeah. We all know what Reed's going to do. He's going to be a top 10 pick. So he's leaving. And, you know, when he went, we talked about that rant a few weeks ago. And after he did that, his team went on a heater and they were dead in the water. And now they basically need one more win. And I think they're in the NCAA tournament because they're right now one of the last four in. Or last four buys with last four in everything you look at. So if they catch one more win, I think they'll get in the tournament, which is kind of crazy. But I'm at the point with Pitino, like he just says a lot of stuff, says it just to say stuff. It's just noise. I texted you today about that, and I made the reference to being kind of like Trump because he's an egomaniac who everything is the greatest, everything is the biggest, everything is. You know, this is the toughest schedule we've ever had. This is the greatest arena in the world. These are the best fans I've ever been around. And he just talks and just talks to hear himself talk. And it's basically all noise. So he's got a fine team at St. John's. They're liable to win a couple games if they get in the tournament. So, okay, jumping off of that, I want to talk about a story that broke last week that I really I was fascinated by. A man in Wisconsin broke his own record for eating the most Big Macs. You've seen this, Richard, right?
Yes.
How many Big Macs do you think you've eaten in your life?
Probably, I don't, 300, maybe 200. I don't know.
Okay.
100? I don't know. I've had a fair share, but it's probably also been about 10 years since I've had a Big Mac.
This guy has eaten over 34,000 Big Macs and he eats two a day. There was a time in his life when he ate 9 Big Macs a day. He's 70 years old. He saves all the wrappers. He saves all the containers. He has an obsessive compulsive, you know, disorder situation here. So there's some stuff going on there. But 34,000 Big Macs, like that is dedication to that. Do you want to know how many Big Macs I've had in my life?
Yes.
Zero. I've never had a Big Mac.
You've never had a Big Mac?
I've never eaten a Big Mac. I was kind of a picky eater as a kid, and I don't really like Thousand Island, which I know is kind of like the secret sauce sort of situation, but I've never had one. And at some point, I realized I'd never had one and just kind of kept it going. So this is what I want, and I've looked this up a little bit, trying to find this guy. I would love to have Don Gorski on the pod. I really want to have him on the show. I want to interview him, and I would like to eat my first Big Mac on the show with him. So if we can find him and get him on the show, if anybody has any insight, I want that guy on the show, and I will eat a Big Mac for the first time while interviewing Don Gorski, if we can make that happen.
Would you eat a Big Mac while we're doing that if we can make it happen?
Possibly. I do like a Big Mac. It just upsets my stomach to no end.
Got it. What's your favorite fast food sandwich?
I might have to go now. It probably was at one point the Big Mac, and then a Wendy's Double Dave or whatever with cheese.
Yeah.
Now those are good. It's probably a Shake Shack burger.
Okay.
They're
All right.
Damn good. They
those are very,
good.
Very good. I do like them. I do like them. I don't eat fast food very much. And so
I don't either.
I don't,
the cheesy gordita crunch.
Oh,
my
a cheesy G
Taco
is,
Bell.
Is very, very good. Cheesy G is delicious.
Enchirito. We talked about that on the show last year. You name it.
You know, don't sleep on Wendy's. Everything at Wendy's is good. It's,
it used to be.
I don't eat
Arby's
anymore,
took it over and ran it into the ground. I think pandemic hurt it, and Arby's buying it screwed it up.
Yeah.
Now their patties are tiny. The double cheese, the double Dave double used to be nice sized burger. Now it's not. It used to be, the fries used to be good. Now they're, I don't know. I used to love Wendy's. Now it's used to be the best burger in fast food, and I think it's slipped dramatically.
Yeah. Well, I think they make some clever chicken sandwiches too. They're all about 1,000 calories each, but they're kind of awesome with like the Asiago ranch or something like that. I love those kinds of things. Those are really good. I don't know. I'm pretty basic when I go fast food.
Culver's is pretty good.
Culver's is good. I do love a Chick-fil-A sandwich and a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. My sister-in-law was working for Burger King as their CMO when they launched the Chick-King. Do you remember the Chick-King? It was their chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I remember the big K that came out.
Yeah. No, she was behind the Chick-King, which was pretty good. Not bad. But it still was Burger King. So it was still Burger King. Sorry.
Long John Silver.
For crying out loud, dude. You know, I want to tell a story, but I'm not gonna, because it's not my story to tell, and I have to get permission before I tell it. So I know that I say something like that every week, so I'm sorry about that. But that's a funny story about Long John Silver's. All right, well, Don Gorski, somebody find him, somebody get him on our show.
Is he on the Instagram? We could ping him on Instagram.
I looked at it, I couldn't find it. You know, he was featured.
Is he on the X or the Twitter?
I don't think so. I looked a little bit and couldn't find him. I don't want to pay him. So I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't want to pay anybody. We don't have a budget. But he actually has an agent that I saw on IMDb, because he was in, they used some footage of him or interviewed him in the movie Super Size Me. Do you remember that one?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he does have an agent, or did have an agent at one point. Now whether or not that still exists, but yeah, right. So,
we're not paying him, because we're not getting sponsorship money ourselves. So I'm not paying anybody. No,
I'm not paying for, you know, to give McDonald's free publicity after I buy the burger and eat it on the radio, on the pod. So, no, but anyway,
well, I'll be interested. I'd like to see that anyway. And I might buy you a burger, a Big Mac, just to watch this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'd like to see Big Mac pre-gym Big Mac, and then pre-gym after Big Mac.
Yeah, that sounds good. We might do that on the show at some point. I'll eat a bit my first Big Mac on the show at some point, maybe. But it would be more fun if we had Don with us. With that, let's look at our time. Let's jump into TV and movies. You talked about Napoleon. How did you like it?
It was not a very good movie. The last 15 minutes, the Battle of Waterloo in that movie is fantastic. But overall movie, I would give it a C-.
Okay.
Clunky, not very good. It's not one of my favorite. I was disappointed because it just was clunky, and it just kind of was all over the place.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be really good visually, but then how much can you put with that? Like, are you putting a story with it that works? And I read some reviews that said that didn't really work out for Ridley Scott on that one. Anything else you're watching?
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
TV?
I started The Tourist, which was on HBO at one point. We used to. I like it. It's weird, but I like it.
With Jamie Dornan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, you too. We're a couple episodes in, and it's good. I like it too. It's interesting. Very, like you said, weird, kind of twisty. Here, you're trying to figure out what's going on.
It's like anything in the backcountry Australia. And I finished Reacher, like the second season of Reacher. It's not very good acting. But it's enjoyable. It's fun to like. If you just need mindless stuff to watch, that is a good show to do that with.
Yeah.
And that's on Prime.
Okay. We started this show because Elizabeth is interested in, you know, healthy stuff as we talk about Big Macs, but it's called Blue Zones, and it's areas in the world where people live to be 100. Have you seen trailers for this or anything?
It talks about kind of like the Kentucky Blue people?
No. I wish it was like that.
Because that would be interesting.
That would be awesome.
Speaking of good health.
But
I have not heard of this. It's
called Blue Zone. They call these Blue Zones where they have the most people that are 100 years old or over. And the first episode was in was set in Okinawa. The second one was set in Sardinia, where they interview these people about their lives and what do they do and how do they live. And it's all very simple. Like all of these places are pretty simplistic, right? Like nobody's sitting on a couch watching TV at the end of the day. They're gardening and they're having the, like in Sardinia, these villages have a lot of inclines, so they're walking a lot up and down, getting exercise in their garden. And so it's stuff that's kind of intuitive. The narrator, the guy that's running it, he's an extreme cyclist. He's the first man to cycle around the globe. So he's kind of condescending about it. He's kind of like acting like he's made some kind of discovery, which we all kind of know. But it got me thinking about food and stuff like that, because the Mediterranean diet, like I think we cook at our house pretty Mediterranean. And I think the flavors in that area are my favorite. Italy, Greece, Spain, even like Morocco, like all of that stuff to me is really good. That's my favorite. Like I do not like Asian stuff as much. Do you have a favorite area of the world or favorite sort of geographic food center that you like better than any place else?
I think I like the Asian flavors. I think I like if we're, and that would also include the Indian subcontinent. I crave curries. I like hot things. Our buddy Jay Kang and I found a great Chinese place out on Preston Highway. It's by far I think it's the best in Louisville. I like those guys. I do like Mexican, but it has to be certain Mexican is really good. And then you get the fast Mexican, which is not very good. So, I think I'd go with Asia. I like Korean food. I like Japanese food. I like Chinese food. I would love to try Malaysian food because I like Thai. I like it all.
I like Asian food and I like the flavors. Like you said, I love the curries and I do a grilled chicken, grilled tandoori chicken that I'll put in salads or whatever. That's really good. I got a great marinade for that, but
I need to get that marinade.
It's really good. Yeah. I'll link that and send it to you. But like really real authentic Asian stuff gets weird to me. Like the stuff they were eating in Okinawa was not that pleasant to me. So I was going to pass on that. And, the Mediterranean stuff is a lot more palatable to me. And I love the flavors there.
And I agree with you there a little bit. It's like if you go into a truly authentic Chinese restaurant or Asian restaurant, and it's like there's some stuff on there that I'm like, I think I'll pass. Like there's that, is it Great Wall or whatever that's on Road that's been there forever?
Forever.
If you go in there, they have like chicken feet and stuff like that. Yep. And I'm like, I'll pass. But, and this place Jay and I went to is authentic and they have a Szechuan, it's called Szechuan and it's authentic Szechuan stuff. There's tripe, there's intestines, there's stuff on there that I'm like, Jay's like, do you want to try it? And I'm like, no, I think I'm good.
I'm going to let that ride, baby.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm good with my chicken and I'm good with stuff. So, yeah.
And I'm with you on Mexican food. I love like real authentic Mexican food. Like when we went down to the Yucatan a couple of years ago and we were just driving in like rural Mexico and eating in these little places, the food there is just unbelievable. The flavors, the spices, and I just love it. I've tried to make some stuff like that when we come, you know, once we've gotten back, and I've really incorporated a lot of that. So yeah, the gloves are really come off when I make stuff like Italian or Mexican or Mediterranean stuff, because that's when I really get after it and make it. But I just really got to thinking about that as I was watching it. And I was like, that diet of people all around the Mediterranean, from Spain all the way around, looping it around to Morocco, is my favorite kind of food. So I'm not sure I'd recommend Blue Zone, but I've just sat here and talked about it for 7 minutes or however long. So obviously it gave me some food for thought. So. With that, anything else that you've watched or gotten into that you want to get to before we get out of here?
I can't think of anything. No.
Okay.
I think
all right.
I'm all good.
Well, listen, people, let's get it going. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, if you want to be in the bracket pool, all the brackets have to be in I guess, Tuesday coming up. Yeah, next Wednesday. Next Wednesday by like 9 p.m., we'll say, because the real tournament kicks off Thursday. Get your brackets in. Send them to thegoodmidlife@gmail.com and give me your name and how to contact you, and send me a bracket, and we'll go from there. And if you lose, we will send you some hot wings. And we're going to do standard scoring. I guess I'll post this on Facebook and on Instagram, kind of what the scoring is going to look like and some info about it. So look for that. Get in there if you want to. We can't wait for the tournament. And hell, I might even tank just so I can get some wings and eat them, because I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
there we go. Anyway, we're ready for action. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have had a lot of fun tonight. This is, you know, I've missed doing this show for a couple of weeks. We did it a couple of weeks ago. It was good. Had guests, and it's good to just get back to the old format for a minute and do that. I think we'll have an NCAA bracket show next week, early in the week, to kind of break down picks. I've got a couple of guests I'm looking to have on, so maybe can help you fill out your bracket and try to stay out of the hot zone on our show. So with that, Richard, I will let you say goodnight.
Not all. Have a wonderful evening, and stop being PUDs. Join us on this epic journey.
That's right. We're going to keep living our best midlife. You keep living yours. We'll see you.